L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Derek and I are live at 5 Iron Golf, 202 21st Avenue South in Midtown. Come on out. We've got a 2 hour of golf and a Trackman golf simulator voucher here, a $180 value. It can be yours for free if you stop by and enter our raffle. You still have got time. You still have time. 615-737-1025. But let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our dear friend, John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Now, John, you publicized why you've been on the shelf for the past few months. And for those who do not know, if you are comfortable, I would love for you to share it because I'm so glad that you're doing so well.
Yeah, thank you. That's kind of the reason I did put it on a post is that I had been out for so long, off the radar, hadn't been posting anything for about 3 months. And it was early January that I got diagnosed with cancer, multiple myeloma. Materialized, I guess, in my lower back is where we found it the most. I had thought I just had like a serious back injury from working out. Turned out, I had to be admitted to the hospital after 3 ER visits, and they diagnosed the cancer a couple days later. You know, I was in the hospital for 3 weeks initially, got all kinds of radiation treatments, and I'm still in the process of getting, treatments, chemo and immuno treatments, not at 100%, but I think I've really made some progress, as I say, from the fact that I couldn't really get out of bed, certainly without a walker or a cane, at all for, 3 months ago. And, just the other day, I did a mile with my cane yesterday. So it sounds like small potatoes compared to a guy, for a guy who is very active working out. But, strides in the right direction, much less pain, much greater mobility. So I feel like I'm on a good path, and I'm back writing again and back talking to you guys again. So we're feeling good about things.
Yes, absolutely. We're so glad to hear you're doing so well. We all love you, so we're glad to have you back in the fold. So, John, I'll let you decide. Would you rather start with the local professional football team or the local professional hockey team?
Why not? You guys are a little hockey flagship there. Let's start off with a little hockey. What do you say?
All right, let's do it. So let's start with the Predators. You've covered this team from the very beginning. You have seen a lot of remarkable things in the Predators' history. If this Predators team, which was as much as, if I recall correctly, 11 points out of a playoff spot at one point this season, finishes the job in the regular season and makes the playoffs, where would that rank among the most remarkable things you've seen from this team?
Now, that's a good question, but it would certainly be among the more remarkable things that I have witnessed. I think for the vast majority of this season, we would have to say that the Predators were definitely an underachieving team, and that continued what we saw last year, unfortunately. And that was the reason at the trade deadline that, they were sellers and got rid of 4 regulars in the lineup, and Bunting, McCarron, Cole Smith, and I'm trying to think of the Blankenberg also. I guess you could say effectively wave the white towel at that point. And certainly everyone who was following them closely expected them to kind of drop off a cliff. And instead, you know, they've turned things around the other way. They're 9-5-2 since the trade deadline, and 3-0-1 on this most important of all five-game road trips. And they've got that second wild card spot right now. They still need the Kings to lose at least a game for sure. We know that. But they're winning hockey games, you know, against all odds at this most crucial period. You know, the leaders are doing what they should be. They're producing the most. They're scoring key goals. And I think they're getting, you know, big contributions, or not big contributions, but the youngsters are chipping in enough to help out as well. And they're certainly not an overwhelming team. I don't think anybody who watches the Preds on a regular basis watches them night in and night out, even when they're winning, and says, boy, that is a great team. That's another great win. But they're finding ways to come out with those victories. And, you know, the way things are going right now, I feel like their chances are pretty good to make that playoff.
So, John, let's switch gears to the Tennessee Titans. I do want to ask you a question that the three of us discussed early in the show. I'm sure you've heard and written a lot about Jeremiah Love and the Titans drafting Jeremiah Love with the number 4 overall pick in the draft in a couple of weeks. But here's my question for you. If the Titans don't draft Jeremiah Love and the offensive weaponry around Cam Ward is basically the same as it was last year, Ridley, DK, Iomanner, Helm, Pollard, Spears, you add Wandale Robinson. But if that's the crew around Cam Ward, how confident are you that he can level up in year two?
Well, I think they would be doing a large disservice to Cam Ward if they went in that direction. You know, I think even if they didn't take Love in the first round, I still think they wind up taking a wide receiver at some point, you know, fairly early on to help out Ward. But, yeah, I mean, you look at last year going into Cam Ward's first year, and they really didn't address the pass catchers until the fourth round, to give Cam Ward some help in his first year. You look at what they did here in free agency in 2026 so far, and it's very heavily weighted, the biggest moves. I think you could argue that 4 out of the top 5 moves they made have been weighted towards the defense. You look at Jermaine Johnson, the trade for him. You look at a couple corner signings and Cordell Flott, Alante Taylor, the addition of John Franklin Myers at defensive tackle. Really, offensively, the only significant help for Cam Ward is, as you mentioned, Wandale Robinson, and he's a slot receiver who's good but not great. So I kind of think you mentioned Jeremiah Love. I would not be opposed in any way to taking Jeremiah Love at number 4. I think that does give Cam Ward that much-needed offensive boost right away. And really, as you look at the various clips and scouting reports of Jeremiah Love, it's very, very hard to pick out any weaknesses in his game. You know, most running backs, when they're coming into the league, even the great rushers, sometimes they're not great. Pass catchers, sometimes they're not great. Blockers in the passing game. Really, Jeremiah Love checks off all the important boxes in all those categories, and he's kind of the breakaway threat that the Titans have needed for years on offense. I'm in on Jeremiah Love at number 4 if he's available. I know there are other good options available defensively, but give me someone right away who can help out Cam Ward.
Now, John, where do you think this, as far as, you know, the things that they've done from a free agency standpoint, we know that this team is far from being complete. But do you think they go into, after the draft, into the second half of free agency, do you think they go in there hard like they did the first half, or do you think they pretty much, you know, they draft and then they assess and then they sort of cherry pick who they're going to get? Because they still need guys, whether it be backups, veteran guys, or other guys that can come in and play key roles.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are definitely still rules and holes to be filled, whether they do that in the draft or post-draft in free agency. But, you know, certainly the offensive line, I think, they've added a couple guys who may or may not be starters, maybe your contenders for starting roles. You know, guys like Austin Slotman, who's a center, Cordell Volson, who's a guard. But are those guys really the ones they want starting at those two positions? I'm not sure. I think they would like to find better alternatives in a perfect world. So the offensive line strikes me as a significant area where they're still looking for help. As we talked about earlier, depending on what they do at wide receiver in the draft, that's another area that can certainly still be beefed up despite the addition of Wandale Robinson. I like what they've done at corner at free agency so far. I think those are, you know, they've really signed three guys that could be the top three corners for next year. That's certainly possible. They look at some of the other positions. Maybe tight end still. I know they signed Daniel Bellinger, who doesn't have great numbers with the Giants, and I think there's still depth to be added there, especially with the loss of Chigo Conquo. So yeah, a lot of positions still up in the air and still need to be filled, whether that goes through the draft or whether that goes through free agency.
Now, what do you believe will be a success for the Titans' first-year coach, Robert Saleh? Is it the development, the further development of Cam Ward? Is it playoffs for this team? Or is it just the development of the whole team?
Yeah, well, I think if you have a poor year, I think if they have, five wins, something like that, I think you better at least make sure you've made great strides with Cam Robinson, Cam Ward, because obviously he is the key to the future of this franchise at this point. So, again, maybe if the more wins you get, the more likely Cam Ward is to be playing better. But at the same time, you can get away with him not being an outstanding quarterback if you somehow find a way to get a 500 record, even without him not putting up great numbers. So, I think there's certainly a honeymoon year for Robert Saleh. If he can improve on what Cam Ward did in his rookie year, if he can take a step up in leap two, I don't know if we can expect a Drake May step up in year two, but a significant move in the right direction I think is key. And if he can throw in about three or four more wins or something like that, I think that's I think that would be recognized as good progress overall for this team.
We'll talk with John Glennon. Now, John, I want to swing on over to the basketball court, the Vanderbilt Commodores. Will it be a bigger surprise if you see Tyler Tanner enter to the draft or if he stays and chooses to transfer?
Yeah, that's a great question. On one hand, he has done – there's really not a lot he can prove on the college level that he didn't show last year. There were no real holes in his game outside of what he really can't help, which is size. Maybe you could argue if he stays another year, he adds a little bit of muscle, he becomes a little bit better defensive player, but certainly offensively, boy, there was not much he couldn't do last year, whether it was shooting the three, whether it was driving the lane and scoring against bigger defenders, whether it was setting other players up for offense. He really showed so much. And, you have to wonder, I'm sure Mark Byington has been very successful in the portal the last couple of years of adding players, but where they stand right now, that there's not a ton of returning talent right now. And if you're Tyler Tanner, are you wondering, hey, if I come back and the team's not going to be as good, am I risking, losing some of my leverage for the NBA draft the following year? Am I going to drop some spots because of that? So I don't know. Yeah, I guess in theory he could come back and transfer as well. You would think the fact that he is a Brentwood native maybe plays a role in sticking around if he does decide to steer clear of the NBA. Maybe Mark Byington can lay out a plan for him and say, hey, look, We're going to, just as we did the last 2 years, we're going to score in the portal. You're going to have a good team to be around. This is your hometown. Stay with us. You know, so maybe that will help as well. But, boy, great question right there. Because another thing to point out with Tyler Tanner, too, is that when you look at a lot of the mock drafts right now, he's being forecast right near the end of the first round or the beginning of the second. And really, there's a significant drop-off in terms of money and in terms of security, in terms of guarantees, you know, from a first round to a second round. So maybe Tyler Tanner thinks to himself, okay, if I stick around and I have a really good third year, you know, then I can improve my stock in the following a junior year, and I'm guaranteed to be in that first round for sure, and that would help my money situation, help my my guarantees in the contract as well. So quite a decision for Tyler Tanner and how it will impact the Doors.
John Glennon is with us from the Nashville Post, joining us on the show here. And John, it is just awesome to hear your voice. I love what you were able to update all of our listeners on, that you've been keeping us up to speed on behind the scenes. So glad you're doing well and back at work. I want to pick your brain on your experience as a beat writer. Adam kind of made the case that the hot goaltender in Justus Ahonen, who played just out of his mind the other night, a phenomenal performance, a 43-save shutout. He made the case for Ahonen to start tonight, a huge game with four games left in the season. You certainly know what it's like to walk up to a coach and say, who's your goalie tonight and what went into the decision? Because I'm sure this wasn't a no-brainer like it normally would be. But, yeah. So what are your thoughts on this situation?
I lean towards my friend Mr. Vingan there. I think I would probably stick with Justus Ahonen there tonight. You know, as you said, and maybe in years past, it would kind of be a no-brainer type decision. You know, Juuse Saros is the guy. You know, he's had a couple big wins already on this road trip, so you stick with Juuse Saros. But you know, I don't think that's been as much the case this year. You know, I think we've seen Justus Ahonen get a fair amount of playing time. You look back even in the last five appearances for each of the goalies, I looked at it, and of course, Juuse Saros is 3-1-1, as I said. You know, some big wins, certainly, you know, in that shootout win over the Kings when he had the eight stops in the shootout, that was a highlight. But his, you know, his save percentage over the last five, a 3-1-1 record and an 895 or 896 save percentage, average. You know, you look at Justus Ahonen in the last five. So this is not just saying, hey, he had a tremendous game the other night. His last five games, he's 3-2. He's got a 949 save percentage in the last five games. So this isn't just a one game, wow, you know, how did he do that kind of thing. I would stick with him, I think, in this situation. I think, though Juuse Saros has been good on the road trip, there have been certainly some instances in a couple games where there have been some goals I think he'd like to have back. I'd go with the man who just gave you a shutout and was the first shutout in 121 games or so for the Predators. You know, give him the net and see if he can produce something anywhere near similar to what he did his previous night out in Anaheim.
Needless to say, the league is being covered a little differently these days than it was back when you started covering the beat, and you were traveling to most of the road trips, and Adam was traveling a lot too. Maybe this question is for both of you guys. This is a good example this morning. I'm sure this discussion would be had in the media scrum, but they're literally, especially with Utah doing their morning skate in a different building, nobody's really asking the question of, right, you know, what went into the decision. And so it's kind of interesting how you have to sort of have these discussions without really getting the firsthand input from the coach.
Yeah, it is. And certainly, you know, if you're a reporter on hand who's just covered the league, you know, you can look for the telltale signs. You know, of course, you know, which goalie is off the ice if you're looking, which goalie is first off the ice during a morning skate, generally is going to be your starter. You know, and usually if you pepper the coach with enough questions, even if he doesn't tell you straight out, and a lot of coaches these days, I don't think it's like the old, a lot of coaches these days will tell you, you know, okay, so-and-so starting. It's not quite as difficult to pry it out as it was you know, back in the day when it was, you know, nuclear, you know, nuclear arms type secrets, trying to get the starting goalie, that kind of thing. So I think they're generally more likely to give that information out. Maybe not during the playoffs, if there's any controversy there. Playoffs are still a different story. But during the regular season, it's not quite as tough. But yeah, especially if you're the road, if you're road fans looking for answers these days, there's just not as many NHL reporters that are traveling and asking the questions that bring about the you know, answers that fans want to know. So it's a little bit more of a challenge to dig that up.
John Glennon of the Nashville Post has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. John, as Willie said, I second it, and Derek thirds
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
We're so glad that you're doing well. We're so glad to hear your voice. We're so glad you're covering Nashville sports again. We'll have to do this again soon.
I love it. Thanks for all the praise and the good words, guys. I appreciate it, and looking forward to, as you say, to doing again here.
615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans. I heard our friend Teron Davenport had a spicy, impassioned take on something we've discussed this week on Next Man Up. We will play that and discuss it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
That's been a discussion all week long, TD, is the value of a wide receiver. And did you see the Mina Kimes clip? We've been playing this all week of the EPA and what a wide receiver is worth.
Look, man, just please spare me of these freaking algorithms and formulas for football. Like, it sickens me, man. And that thought, that whole discussion is stupid. It's flat out stupid. You're going to use the salary that Jacoby Myers is getting and compare that to Saquon Barkley. Man, get the heck out of here. You know darn well Saquon Barkley is of a whole different level player and impact than freaking Jacoby Myers, man. Stop that. It's ridiculous. Stop
that. It's ridiculous.
That was Teron Davenport.
He was pissed off of greatness.
Impassioned Teron Davenport. You know it's serious when Teron gets fired up. And the reason Teron is so fired up, we've been having this conversation throughout the week. We played some clips from Mina Kimes' podcast, Mina Kimes, of course, of ESPN, where she was skeptical about drafting Jeremiah Love number 4 overall, talking about how the development of a young quarterback historically is not as linked to having a top-tier running back as it is having a top-tier wide receiver. And the conversation continued on X. She got into a respectful, cordial, back and forth with Justin Graver, host of the Music City Audibles podcast. And she replied to Justin Graver by saying this during part of their conversation. Quote, "I think a B-plus receiver is more valuable than an A-plus running back. So I would take Carnell Tate, or I'd go edge and then wide receiver, maybe even trading back into the end of the first for a wide receiver if you feel you have to jump Kansas City or Miami. Love is great. I just don't think this team, meaning the Titans, is in a position to go running back." And actually, we had a texter, I believe it was Gino, early in the show, asking if we heard that clip from Teron. I heard part of it earlier today. And Gino thought that perhaps Teron was aiming directly at me because I'm the big nerd who likes the data. I trust Teron Davenport's opinion wholeheartedly. I don't think Teron was coming at me or anything like that. But I hear what he's saying. Derek, you've made the same point that the infiltration of data and analytics in professional sports, I do think overall has been incredibly helpful for the game. It's helped teams make more informed decisions. It's allowed fans to be smarter. And as someone who works in data, I am a full-throated supporter of analytics. But you, as someone who played the game at a high level for a very long time, you still rely on your gut and what you've seen, and you are on Teron's side here about the debate between having a top-tier running back versus maybe a second-level wide receiver in the development of a quarterback.
I think sometimes, because I do, listen, I'm on the show with two guys, one in particular, you,
yes.
Adam, that loves, and I mean loves, you work at, gosh, you work for a company
yes.
that does nothing but analytics. So I appreciate and I respect the analytics.
And there are some analytics exactly. that I don't even understand uh-huh. that go over my head. So I get it.
So but. I respect the analytics that you bring. I respect the analytics that Willie brings as well. But I think sometimes in order to try to explain yourself out of something, some people use analytics as a crutch.
Yes.
Like they go to analytics right away. All I would want Mia Kimes to do is just look at the football games. And I know she has. It's not like I'm saying she does it, or it's not like I'm saying you don't, Adam, because I know you do. And obviously Willie does too. But in this situation, I would just ask, just go look at the film. You go look at the film of Jeremiah Love. Go look at the film of Christian McCaffrey. Go look at the film of Jahmyr Gibbs. And tell me a guy like that doesn't change the dynamic of your team. She said the Titans are not in the space to draft a running back. They're in a space to draft a playmaker, period. And it is at a position where they can use the upgrade. I'm not saying that they need it, but they can use the upgrade. Wide receiver, they're not drafting wide receiver fourth overall. They're just not. Jeremiah Smith isn't coming out this year, okay? If he was coming out this year, then yes, we can have that talk. It wouldn't even be an
argument.
There
seems to be some momentum building toward Jeremiah Love. I mean, not Jeremiah Love, excuse me. Carnell Tate perhaps sneaking into the top five. But you know how it is at this
time
of year.
Yeah, I mean, at this time of the year, things yes. people are saying things. But my thing is, just go watch those games, and you tell me how much that running game, how much the fear of that individual player, how much that helps out a quarterback. For so long, we have said, and I don't know, and maybe the NFL has forced us to think differently now. For so long, we said, the two things that help a running back, and I remember saying this even at the beginning of the year, is a good offensive line and a really good run game. That is going to – I didn't say anything about a wide receiver. You can get one, but if you truly want to get him a good offensive line and a running game, okay? I don't understand why people sometimes sort of forget that. Oh, you no. They need some – no. If you get your – everything starts first with an offensive line. And again, I said, if y'all want to address that, then we can have that argument, you know, whether to draft. But there's no offensive lineman that is rated that high – that outside of a tackle that you figure the Titans would go out and get. So if that's the case, that's an argument you can't have. So now the argument is, well, you don't take him because first it was you don't take him because you just don't take running backs, you know, fifth overall or fourth overall. Then it became, well, he hasn't had the usage, you know, he hasn't had enough carries, you know. Then it's, will it translate? Quit pushing the goalpost. The Titans need a playmaker, whether it be defense or an offense. And if you have an opportunity to get one of them, you get them. This team is not going to be worse off if they went out and got Jeremiah Love. And I think sometimes people think, oh, they're going to be worse if they go get Jeremiah Love. No, they're not. They're still they're going to progress, because even if they go get Bailey, Bain, the quarterback still has to develop.
Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to the idea of, well, you can't take this player because you're not ready for him. Because you do miss, look, like the Titans, I don't think the Titans would do this necessarily, but I don't like the idea of, well, we can't take this running back because our offensive line is still under construction, so maybe next year. Like, I don't like that idea. I mean, you take the best player and you work around it. You take Jeremiah Love, for example, and you build up the offensive line and so on and so forth. To me, let's peel back the curtain here, all right? We've been talking NFL draft for like 3 months because the Titans season has been over for 3 months. This is really the only thing we've had to look forward to over the past few months. We've talked about free agency, of course, but the draft is the big one. And admittedly, there are times when it is difficult to come up with new and fresh angles of talking about the NFL draft. So I hear what you're saying, that we talk about Jeremiah Love a lot. I'm on your side. I would love the Tennessee Titans to draft Jeremiah Love. I think he would be great for them. I think he would bring a ton of excitement to the fan base and the organization. I'm on board with Jeremiah Love. But what I'm attempting to do is just to think critically about Love from all different angles. So earlier in the show, as you mentioned, we had Nick Suss of the Tennessean on the show yesterday. I asked him about Love, his skepticism about Love as the number four pick, and he brought up the fact that Jeremiah Love wasn't the dominant running back in terms of touches at Notre Dame. He basically split time with Jadarian Price, who is the second best running back prospect in the NFL draft. And Suss brought up the other top running backs drafted in recent years. Let's go to Ashton Jeanty for a moment, because Jeanty was drafted last year. In his final season at Boise State, Jeanty touched the ball 397 times, which led the country. By comparison, Love touched the ball last season 226 times. So that, by my really quick math, is 171 fewer touches for Jeremiah Love than Ashton Jeanty. And we've talked about, hey, that's a good thing, because Love hasn't been beaten down in college. He arrives in the NFL fresher, theoretically, than Jeanty or Bijan Robinson or Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey or insert top drafted running back here. But then I heard what Suss said yesterday, and Nick is a smart guy, and I was like, huh, maybe I've been thinking about it the wrong way. I understand his point. If you're going to draft a running back number four overall, do you? I know that running backs, timeshares, two-back systems are more prevalent in the NFL now, but do you want to do that with a running back you've drafted number four overall? Or do you want that running back to be someone who's handling the ball 85% of the time versus 60% of the time? And can Love do that because he didn't do it in college? That's how I'm sort of thinking about all of this. Yes, you, Derek.
Oh, I thought Willie was on.
Willie.
Yeah. He dropped off. I'm waiting for Willie.
No, Willie. Willie has gone off on the broadcast. Sorry.
Willie had to drop off. No, okay.
I thought you were really like, wow, that was a really great point. I have nothing to say.
That was really mind-blowing. Gosh. No. But, okay, look at it from this standpoint, because people are stuck on the touches. And can he do it at the NFL level? The NFL game is different now. It's different, and I know people understand this. So when we look at there are guys that in the NFL that are just going to run the ball a lot, and we know who that one guy is, Derrick Henry. They just want to give him the ball. Why? Because Derrick Henry's superpower is running the football, and the more he gets, the stronger he gets. His superpower isn't running the football, and the more he gets, stronger he gets. Oh, and he can catch passes too. So you got to give Derrick Henry the football a little bit more to get that going, to wear down those blockers. So some teams do it that way, and he's still going to get his touches. And when he does it, it's noticeable, and people understand it. Guys like Jeremiah Love, Jahmyr Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey, and there are a couple other backs out there. Their touches, all of their touches don't come with handoffs. That's what people – this guy had 199 carries. Then how many receptions he had? I think he had like 40 somewhere around there. I don't know. He didn't have many his last year.
I believe it was in the 20s.
Okay. He didn't have many as last year. The NFL, the way that it's no longer I'm going to turn the ball around and give it to the running back. That's not what the NFL, when you talk about touches and being impact, that's not what the NFL is totally about. It's about I can give it to you running a football, but I can give it to you throwing a football, and it all accounts the same. But the good part is that you're not getting beat up like you would if I handed the ball off to you. I can hand the ball off to you 15 times and throw the ball to you 7 times, and you won't even notice. But in the box scores, it says he touched the ball, 20-some times, almost 30 times. And that is what you want from your running back, right? You want him to touch the ball about 25 to 30 times. The NFL is not saying, I'm going to give you the football 25 times out the backfield. There are a couple of backs they do that to. But when you're talking about the elite backs, whether it's Saquon Barkley, the same way. When he's in his groove, he's not only running the football 20 times, he's touching it another 10 or 7 out of the backfield, which amounts to 30 times per game. But he's not taking the pounding that he would as if we were giving it to him between the tackles. I think Jeremiah Love, wherever he goes, I think he's going to be a 25 to 30 touch guy. Not necessarily all out of the backfield, but what he's going to be able to prove to the team he goes to that, listen, you can use me out the backfield as a weapon as also.
Jeremiah Love, 199 carries, 27 receptions last season for the Fighting Irish. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. We'll touch it on all of it. Titans, Predators, you name it. You've got thoughts, call us, text us. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We would like to thank Five Iron Golf in Midtown for having us out today. We will be back tomorrow, all of us, starting at 6 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road. Next man up with Jake Lyman, of course, Chase and Big Joe. And D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Derek, you're off to the mountains.
Man, yes.
For a long weekend. So yes. Connor Newt will be in with me tomorrow. Willie Donick will join the program as soon as he touches down in Nashville because the Predators do not return from Utah until tomorrow. The Predators, a big game tonight against the Mammoth.
Man, did you see my golf shot over there?
I did.
What did I get over there again? I was 1 foot away from the hole.
Oh, so close.
1 foot on par three.
Oh, so close.
I'm getting there.
No, I will say this. This is also golf adjacent. As some of our listeners have pointed out when I bring up how I want the Predators to rebuild, I've never played competitive sports. So it's not like I'm going to teach my son Arlo to be the next great athlete. He's not going to be the next Derek Mason if I have anything to do with it because I don't have any athletic prowess.
He may just surprise you.
Running through my veins. But you know what? A couple of weeks ago, he found my Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
And he wanted to play. And he wanted to play Mario Golf.
Ooh.
And he... he went par on a par four on his first try, and I was very proud of him for going for hitting par on Mario Golf. That's good enough for me.
There we go. Did you get hole in one? Oh, he had an inch past. Ah, gosh.
Oh man.
Now I'm not in second anymore. Oh no, I'm still in second.
It's an awesome place here, by the way. Five Iron Golf.
Yeah, it's great
in Midtown, right down the street from Vanderbilt University. So if you're looking for a fun thing to do, we suggest coming here to Five Iron Golf.
I want to I meant to mention this yesterday. I got a chance to go over to the Davis House out in Franklin and met with Carolyn and Brad Hopkins, who a former teammate and a good friend of mine. He took me over there, and
that is the Child Advocacy Center.
Advocacy Center, and I mean they're doing such wonderful things. So I just want to, just continue to bring awareness to things like that. You know, we all got to do our part, especially when it comes to our children. And I'm not just talking about our children personally. I'm just talking about children, period. First, I want to thank Brad for introducing me to the Davis House in Caroline, and then Caroline for showing me around the facilities. They have a bunch of really good things going on for the kids in helping them with whatever goes on with them from an abuse standpoint. So I just wanted to say that. And then also I wanted to brag a little bit on my little guy. I say my little guy, but he's 24 years old. Well, he will be 24 years old in July. But he graduated. It's been 2 years now. And he was supposed to take a year off and then go back to go to med school. But he decided to take 2 years off. Hmm. But he's been studying. And he's been working his tail. I mean, this kid, he's been locked in. And he took the test. He took his MCAT last month, and he was waiting for his scores. And he got his scores back. And I am so proud of him. He got the score he wanted, which means it was a very high score for him. A very high score, period. But now he's going to start applying for med schools throughout the country. But I just want to say I'm so proud of my son. I love that kid to death.
Congratulations. That's great.
But I just wanted to brag on my son a little bit you know, congratulations, dude. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, and I'm proud of you.
You know what? Because you and Willie, your children are grown up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a new dad. I've got a 4.5-year-old and a 7-week-old. So oftentimes it's the new parents who are bragging on their kids and telling fun stories. But it's so great to hear you and Willie talk about your adult children and how proud you are of them.
You're going to be there later, yes. Not sooner. But
hopefully
I'm
later
about
rather than
adult
sooner.
Kids, yeah. Yes,
there are times where I wish
bragging
Arla,
on your adult kids.
There are times where I wish Arla was an adult so I didn't have to worry about him so much, you know. But, you know.
He can help babysit his sister.
Right. I love that little guy. So a couple of texts on our conversation about the Predators going back to UC Soros tonight instead of Eustace Onnenen after Onnenen had an outstanding performance on Tuesday. Joel says, Bruno had to go with Soros. Worst case of Soros plays bad, Bruno can simply say he's our starter and Onnenen just played. If he switched it up and Onnenen played bad, every media question would be about not sticking with the starter in a crucial game, and it most likely would go over terribly in the locker room. Now, Willie's not on the show at the moment. He's preparing for the broadcast. But there is one thing that I do enjoy from time to time. I think it happened when we talked to Scott Wheeler the other day, and it happened with Glennon, where he asks a question to a guest, and the guest agrees with me. Like, Willie.
It's happened twice now.
Yes, Willie asked Glennon about, hey, you know, what would you have done? And Glennon said, I agree with Adam. And then Willie asked Scott Wheeler about the Predators' prospects and the system and all that. And Scott gave an answer that sounds a lot like the things I've been saying. So, like, I get, like, this sick, twisted little pleasure when Willie asks a question to a guest about Predators and the guest sides with me.
Who wouldn't? You know, when you bring a guest on and they side with you, who wouldn't feel that twinge of, yes.
You know,
thank you.
You know, Willie and I like to.
Satisfaction.
Willie and I like to bicker about this sort of thing because we're coming from it on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. But that's what makes it so much fun. But the Predators, a big one tonight against Utah. Puck drop at 8, pregame at 7 here on 102.5 The Game. If the Predators have any hope of,
do they need to win outright or do they just need the point? Well, I know the point is important.
Points,
but,
I mean, yeah. At this point, you've got to win as much as you can.
Yeah, okay.
But one thing about tonight specifically, so Utah is 4 points up on the Predators. Utah has a game in hand. This is a so-called four-point game. There's a four-point swing in the standings, potentially. If Utah wins this game in regulation, the Mammoth will be up 6 points on the Predators. With a game in hand, the Predators will have 3 games left. So if the Predators want any opportunity, want any hope of being the first wild card team, which means going to the Pacific Division, which is much weaker, which means a better chance of advancing in the playoffs, they have to win tonight. If they don't win tonight, you can kiss that goodbye.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens. Predators versus Mammoth, last road game of the regular season. Puck drop at 8, pregame at 7, right here on 102.5 The Game. Thank you to Jeff Marek and John Glennon for joining the program. Derek's out tomorrow. Connor Newt will be with me. Willie Donick will join the show once he lands back in Nashville. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. See you tomorrow back here.
Five Iron Golf
at 3 p.m. And again, John Glennon, we love you, man, and we are thankful that you are feeling a lot better. We just pray
Amen.
That you continue to feel better. So thank you for coming on again, and thank you for everything you've ever done for this station and each one of us as far as coming on and everything else. So, but again, We will see you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.